But we're so glad that you're here today. We're so glad that you're a part of the family of God, amen? Whether you're here visiting, you're a part of the family of God. Whether you call Rockcliffe your home, you're part of the family of God, amen? And at the moment we ask Christ in our heart, we become adopted, amen, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Isn't that amazing? That's so amazing. It doesn't matter what we face in this world. It doesn't matter what happens in our biological families and everything else. We wish we knew that there was a perfect norm and everything would go perfect, but we know we're in a broken world and not everything does go perfect. Amen? Everything that we hope for and we try to aim for and we try to plan for, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord that orders his steps. When we put our trust in the Lord, he turns everything around for good. But we've got to trust him because sometimes the enemy hits us so hard that we can lose focus. And that's really what we want to talk a little bit about today. If you want to bring up the PowerPoint there for me. We want to talk a little bit today. We are going to dismiss the kids. Yeah, it's coming up behind me. If we want to talk today about, again, on this series, I'm going to back up just a little bit, and then I'm going to move forward as quick as I can. On this idea of it's all in the mind. Our greatest battlefield that we are ever going to have, and that is going to be right in here, right? Jesus conquered death and hell. He conquered it. So if I hang on to the cross, if I cling to the cross and I grab a hold of Jesus, well, then the devil's got nothing on me, amen? No weapon formed against shall. Oh, they might hit me. They might hit my armor. They might bounce. They will bounce off. They might put a dent in, but none of them will prosper, amen? They might start to take root. It looks like they're taking root. It looks like they're coming up. Oh, my goodness, I thought everything should go easy. Well, you know what? God never promised everything easy. He never promised everything would go the way you want it to go. He promised that in this world you will have many troubles. That's his promise. But his promise is I'll never leave you. And since I overcame the world, you can overcome too. See, we have to renew our mind. Don't let it be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed and renew your mind so you can know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God is so for you. He's not against you. But that doesn't mean he's your puppet. That doesn't mean he's your puppet, that he's your cosmic vending machine, that he'll just do whatever you wanted to do. No, that means that we need to surrender and humble ourselves to a holy and righteous God, to a loving and gracious God. We surrender ourselves and we say, Lord, no longer my will, but your will be done. If you're confused, or if the life has hit you so hard that you kind of got off kilter, the way to come back kilter is at ground zero, which is the cross, and get your eyes back onto Christ and say, what would Jesus do? What would he do in this scenario? How would he handle this? And when we come into that routine and that pattern of life, then we start to realize that life is actually not as hard as we thought. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because your rod and staff, they comfort me and they guide me. Then we start to realize that, wait a minute, a lot of the things we sweat bullets over, that we fight over and that we go at in this world, really have no real eternal value or meaning. And the things that we should be standing on and fighting for, the Canadian church has let go, and that's why our nation's in the place that it's in today. Why? Because we're so busy fighting over things that don't matter. Amen? So today we're talking about, again, it's all in the mind, and we're into part three, and just off the bat, to help you understand and realize, again, this scripture from Philippians 2:5 is that you already have the mind of Christ. If you're a believer, you have the mind of Christ. Amen? So you might say, oh, but my mind's crazy. Oh, this, yeah, he's given you the mind of Christ, and you are to take captive every thought. It's your responsibility. Holy Spirit will help you, but it's your responsibility. There's a part that you and I have to play in this game called life. We've got to put things on. We've got to take things off. We've got to take captive things. We've got to declare things. There's a participation that God expects from us in order for us to walk in the liberty and the freedom that Christ has given us already. In 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Remember last week we talked on Father's Day, we talked about camping with Jesus. And he said when you're pitching your tent, you need to make sure your standard is there, the banner is there, your flag is there. Our flag, our banner is Christ, which is the cross, amen? And then not only that, but you got to situate your door and that your eyes, your focus on the presence of God. So that when the enemy raises up something, and that it doesn't matter how high he raises, because we're raising Christ even higher. That's why David could run out Goliath and he could overcome him. Is why even though Goliath was huge and big and everyone else, all they saw was the enemy, the problem. But David, all he saw was how big God was. And Goliath was nothing to God. You see, it's all perspective. It's a battle in the mind on who you're going to look to, who you're going to run to, and how you're going to handle the things of life. Then we talked about how it is a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Whether we want to recognize it or not, I believe it's, if I remember the statistics, I could be off by 1% or 2%, but it's 52 to 56% of North American Christians don't even believe Satan is real. I'm going to tell you now, if you believe God is real, then Satan is real too. Because God's not a liar, and he did talk about Satan in the Word of God. Amen? We're in a battle. The problem is we either go to one extreme or the other. Either we start looking for a demon around every corner, and we get distracted on all the effects and the things the devil is doing. Oh my goodness, look at, sometimes we masquerade it as the signs of the time, and we can get so caught up in all of that stuff. Focusing on what the devil's doing, we're forgetting what God is doing. God is on the move, amen? God is not asleep. He's at work all over the world, all over Canada, here in Owen Sound. He's at work in that he's restoring lives. He's bringing people back into relationship with him. All over the world, God is doing things. And he's called for you and I not only to see and witness those, but to participate with that, amen? And that, but we are in a battle and you need to put your armor on. If you don't have your armor on, or you're finding that, man, life is so hard, I'm getting hit and I'm knocked, I'm tossed to and fro by the waves, the Word of God says. You need to reset yourself back to the foot of the cross, get your feet on the rock, and stand upon Christ. Put that armor on and recognize he is fighting the battle for you. Amen? No matter what you face, no matter how long it seems it takes, God is not too slow and he's never too fast. He's always on time. Amen? And that's where we got to put that part inside of us, and we got to not be anxious and fearful and worried. They're all tactics of the enemy to get us distracted and thrown off from God and what he is doing. We bring that peace and we say, God, give me that peace beyond understanding. Bring that rest into my heart and into my soul and into my mind and my emotions so that they don't overtake me. Amen? And that we would be able to walk in the truth of his word. We talked about strategic intercession, and then in that part of talking, therefore, our fighting our battle involves much more than just saying a few words to the sky. You know, some people, when it comes to prayer, that's all it is. Oh, Lord, rub, dub, dub, give me some grub. God, I need this. God, give me this. God, this. Okay, great. Oh, I said my prayers. I'm okay. Oh, it's much more than that. And that strategic intercession that he's called believers in Christ to walk into, and that he's calling us into maturity is, there's a prayer covering. We need to be praying over our kids, amen? Praying over your marriages, praying over your co-workers, your boss, your workplace, and that there's a prayer covering. There's a power and authority that he's given us for us to declare. Whether I see anything or not, that's one of the hardest ones. Because how many know sometimes you don't see that? You pray for this, and we don't realize what Holy Spirit just bumped that car out of the way so it didn't collide with this one. God just rearranged this and rearranged that so that death word that was going to be spoken over you, God bumped it out of the way. Holy Spirit's at work all the time, whether you see him or not. And your prayer covering, that's a part of that strategic intercession that we're called to. Unity. That prayer of unity, and that when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. And when we bind together, two or three agree on anything, there's a unity. There's something powerful about it. And why do you think the enemy tries and works hard to divide the family? in your own home, right? Kids come to mom, hey, mom, can I have candy? And she, no, you can't have candy. Hey, dad, can I have candy? Right? Even in our homes, the enemy works hard to try and use the flesh to divide things. There's nothing stronger than coming as one. There's something about that. We've seen it. Dave talked about that with the Raptors. 2.1 or 2.2 million people converged into downtown Toronto. You couldn't breathe. You couldn't move. And that there was just packed in there. And many of them, they were so far away that they saw specks going by there of the team. But they wanted to be there in the atmosphere, something about that atmosphere, something about going on. Oh, we the North. That was the banner, amen? And it rallied all of Canada who maybe didn't care two hoots about Toronto. But when all of a sudden it became we the North, and the rallying point became the only Canadian team left, the only Canadian team to make it, well, then all of a sudden it started rallying everything. But you and I, we don't need hype. We don't need another story or another thing. We've got everything wrapped up right here. And if we can just focus on here, we can rally any day, anytime, any place with any believer around the world, right around here. But we've brought it to pop psychology and all sorts of other stuff that even in the church, we segregate and we divide up, and whether we wear glasses, we don't, whether we like this or we don't like this, or whether this or that. We're rallying around all the wrong things. And that's why the North American church is so ineffective today, in that it, as a whole, is because they're not rallying around the one thing that changed everything. That changed everything. That we no longer have to walk the way we used to walk, talk the way we used to walk. We don't have to carry all the things we used to carry. We don't have to walk. God created it through Christ, a new covenant for you and I to walk in. Submission to authority and humility. That's a part of prayer and a part of that strategic fighting through, and that's so that we can accomplish what he has for us, the need for objectivity and boldness. I don't know about you, but God had to speak to Joshua 3 times. Be bold and strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. 3 times he had to say it. And we need, as we pray, as we come into that place, we move into a boldness. I don't know, have you ever been in that place where all of a sudden you're praying, you're interceding, and then something just takes over. And all of a sudden something rises up, and it's like you begin to declare, not praying anymore. You're like declaring, no, you're not having my marriage. You're not having this anymore, enemy. No. And something rises up, and the problem is we become so passive. So passive. Prayer walking. Joshua speaks to Joshua. He says, wherever you put your foot, I will give you. Are you praying? And while, as you're walking, declaring, God, I'm praying for this workplace I'm in. I know I'm not here just to get a paycheck. Oh, it's nice to get a paycheck. But God, if I don't get this paycheck, you'll take care of me some other way. So why am I worried? Amen? Amen? So go to work in that prayer walking mode. God, I'm just believing, God. And all of a sudden, one of your coworkers is going through a tough thing, your boss, or the work itself, the job itself is on shaky ground. How many know a lot of jobs are on shaky ground in the craziness of the economics of our world today? And so all of a sudden, you begin to step your foot in, you begin to pray over it. And God, Lord, I just pray blessings and favor on this business. Even if other ones are closing down, God, I just pray it over here. Why? Because you're there. Why? Because the great I am is in you, and it affects change. We need to pray boldly, prophetic actions, and that authority to Scripture. And no better words. If you don't know what to pray, pull out your Bible and just begin to declare. You know, I'm not talking about the person that's like, oh yeah, when I read the Bible, I just kind of go like this, and wherever I put my finger, then that's what I do, and it, you know, it says some crazy thing in there. You know, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying is that all of a sudden begin to start to ask Holy Spirit to lead you, and that the Scriptures that you can begin to declare out loud, not only over yourself, but over those around you, and then prevailing intercession. Never grow tired or weary. Like that persistent widow. We just keep pressing in and pressing in. We say, God, change my thinking, change my actions, change me if I'm wrong. But if I'm not wrong, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go to that promise you spoke in my heart. I'm not letting go to that declaration you brought into me. I'm going to hang on. I'm just going to keep pressing in. I'm going to keep praying. Right? Like George Mueller, great man of faith, prayer warrior of England. 60 years he prayed for two of his friends. One came to the Lord on his very last sermon that he ever spoke. And the next one came to the Lord at his funeral when George passed away. And that whether you see it or not, God's at work. Don't give up. Amen? We talked about identifying strongholds, material and financial stronghold, that addictive and habitual, the personal and physical, the relationship and the spiritual. They're the major areas of identifying that strongholds that the enemy works. And it's all in your mind. So we need to demolish the spiritual strongholds. Listen, God's not wanting you to live with it. God's not wanting you to carry everything around. We've got to stop living as if we're still bound by sin. Amen? Jesus conquered and paid for all of that. Whom the Son sets free is? So we need to walk free. We need to walk light. He says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. How many realize that sometimes it doesn't feel so easy? Right? That's only because you're tugging a little harder. Let him lead, and it'll become easy. Right? And that it feels so heavy. That's because you're not casting your cares and letting him carry it for you. Remember, we're the little one. We got a team of oxen. There's one powerful one. There's one that leads, and there's the other one that kind of follows and kind of pulls and does their part. But it's really this one that's leading it. If you get two leaders up there, they just become butting heads, and they fight, and they don't get on. And then they end up dropping the load or tilting it or getting it off kilter. Let him lead. It's time to take a stand and fight the fight of faith. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be alert, stand firm in the faith. I've shared it before. One of the most misquoted scriptures is, resist the devil and he will flee. He will never flee from you because you say, devil, leave me alone. He never will. That's not what scripture says. Scripture says, submit to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee. That word submit is a pretty important word. Jesus isn't our tagalong. He's not just an added addition to our home. And he's just a side room, a granny suite kind of onto the side. No, he is everything. And he wants everything. And when we start to lay it down before him, and this is hence the issue of where we are today. What stops us from giving it all? What are those things that make us hold back when we know what we ought to do and we don't do it? We know we should take a step, but everything inside of us says no or cowers in fear. Those are the strongholds that God wants to address and he wants to work into our life. In my ministry experience, the prowling and the spiritual warfare that I've observed has much to do with the devil's playing sleight of hand with the mind, playing tricks. And that, how many times have you been in ever a place and there's multiple people, something happens, and everyone has a different perspective on it? Oh, really wasn't anything. Oh, my goodness, it was everything. Everything just fell apart, right? And that he plays on the mind, and he works away at trying to get us distracted and divided. In other words, he gets people thinking about a set facts that lead to wrong conclusions. How many times have we ever been told you only have one side of the story? That's probably 101 counseling tool is make sure you get the second side. Right? I'm telling you, so many times I've been duped and I've been overwhelmed, and that as my heart bleeds is because someone's heart is bleeding, and I've run to that. Oh, yes, oh my goodness, only to find that they were really the instigator. When you start to realize the other side. And so really, am I helping them at all? No. But when all of a sudden I stop and say, whoa, wait a second here, this is exactly what you did, and this is why it triggered this. And that, why? Because we want them to get free of those habits and those patterns in their lives that are destructive, that are repelling people instead of drawing them, that are repelling the love instead of embracing the love that is being given to them. We've all met people like that. In fact, we've all met people like that because we're all like that at some point or another. Amen? When we're really honest and we really look at that. See, the strategy of the devil is so common that it forms a predictable structure. And the predictable structure is this, and that the structure of first the wound. The enemy comes and he pokes and he makes a wound through words, through actions. And then that wound, we start to believe lies about ourselves, about a scenario, about someone else. We take on second offense, whatever it might be, we begin to believe lies. And once those lies have come in place, then all of a sudden we start making vows. No one is ever going to hurt me like that again. And what do? We put up defensive walls. But listen to me. What you do unto others, you do unto him. Right? So if you're building walls up against people, indirectly, guess what you're doing? You're building walls up against between you and God. For everything you do it unto the, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. It's not just the good things. Everything we do to everyone around us, we're really doing to him too. It's really quiet in here now. And those vows then, if they are let stayed, and those wounds and those lies, they are what develops the strongholds in our lives. And Jesus did not pay for us to be overwhelmed, and that he paid for us to be free. Strongholds, we gave this before, talked about it. Some of the strongholds, those, God can't fix this. There's no hope for me. Why me? Oh man, that is a killer. Why me? I'm always the one that gets hit. God isn't good. God doesn't hear or respond. No one can be trusted. These are phrases that are real phrases that we have spoken out at one point or another, or the person next to you might have. If I just follow a system of good behavior, life will work out. No one will ever love me. I must excel to be validated. I have to look out for number one. I deserve to be punished. Oh, Jesus, would you just come right now? Jesus, and I pray that you would just begin to dispel and break and expose the lies for what they are. And I just pray that you would help bring truth out today so that we truly could be free. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Too many people for too many years in Christendom have carried burdens and carried things for decades and decades and decades, and they've just said, well, that's my lot in life. It's not what Jesus paid for you to be your lot in life. Amen? And that, so in that part, as we realize that, then we have to realize the pattern so we can move forward. Strongholds, defining strongholds. And that, in that part of the Greek word is ohoroma. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it 100%, but it literally means to fortify. It means a strong castle. It means a prisoner locked by deception. Words and actions are powerful. They can build people up or they can tear them down. They can pour out love or they can breed hate. They can establish trust or destroy it. They can soothe deep and powerful wounds or they can create deep and powerful wounds. Most of us have experienced those wound-afflicting words and actions from other people at some point in our life. The pain creates a burden we feel forced to carry. The lies are so easy to believe. The hurt feels inescapable, and freedom seems hopeless as scars threaten to resurface and bring a cloud of resentment with them. Hey, have you ever had one of those cuts? You know, on one of the joints or one of those areas where you're moving a lot, and it just starts to feel like it's healing. Then you go to do something, and it splits open again. And then, you know, it just starts to heal, and you do it again. Well, that's what the enemy's trying to do to you. He's going to bring things that smell similar, sound similar, look similar, and he's going to bring it around, and then everything inside of your flesh is going to trigger and say, oh my goodness, look at that, it's again. Oh my goodness, what's going on? Why? He's out to distract. He's out to rob, kill, and destroy. If you have notes, we're going to walk through this. So number one, and that on how do spiritual strongholds get built, and that the very first one is wounds. Wounds refer to the difficult or hurt emotions and relational experiences we've suffered in life that have now shaped how we see ourselves and how we present ourselves. Listen to me. Let me pause for a moment. The Bible says two things. Take the whole Bible, shram wrap it down to two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength. In other words, everything. Amen? Can we say everything? Love God with everything. That's good. And then love your neighbor as your, listen to me. Why do you think the enemy is working so hard to get wounds and everything built inside of you? Because if you don't even like yourself, how are you supposed to love on anyone around you? And when you build that wall up and you start believing that lie and that lie starts beating on you and tearing you down, all you end up doing is you're building bricks and you think it's just about you. If I don't hurt anyone else, it's okay if I take it because I deserve it. But what happens is you're not realizing Jesus paid for it all. And what happens is you end up building walls up, not only in protection of yourself or protecting others from yourself, but those walls, they end up not only going up this way, but they end up coming around us and we get boxed into this little box. And then we wonder why we start saying echoes. You hear from people saying, I don't hear God anymore. I don't see God anymore. God's not doing anything anymore. Can I just simply tell you, that's a real lie from the enemy. If you ever say those words right off the bat, you need to understand, oh, wait a minute here. There's something that's happening. I'm either already caught by the enemy or I'm about to get caught by him because that's not true. And he is the father of lies. If it's not truth, then it's a lie. And if it's a lie, it's not from God. And if it's not from God, you need to take it captive and get rid of it as fast as you can. Here are some indicators that you may be operating out of woundedness in your life. Number one, if someone offers correction and you feel threatened or defend yourself vigorously rather than giving it time to process. In other words, someone comes and address, and then all of a sudden this part comes up right away, and instead of hearing what they're saying, you end up coming to defend everything. It's a sign that there's some woundedness that are there. Number two, if you struggle with a constant envy of other people's success. Or if, no matter how great your work is, you constantly compare it with others. There's some kind of woundedness there that God wants to bring healing to. How many know God wants us healed? And I'm not talking just from broken legs. I mean, we're praying for Norma and we're praying for that. But God wants the full meal deal. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. He wants to be made whole and healed so that we can walk free and light in the authority and the victory that he's given us. In other words, we can be ready in season and out of season to do whatever he wants us to do. God will never disqualify you because he qualified you. The enemy can't take you from God's hands. It's you and I that disqualify ourselves because we're believing a lie that isn't true. Number three, if you're unable to say no without feeling guilty. You're not able to say no without feeling guilty. Man, you ask my wife. People say, oh, my pastor, you're doing too much. Man, I'm doing maybe a third of what I used to do. But most of what I used to do was run around to try and make sure everyone was pleased and happy. Because I felt guilty ever saying no. So people would call me up at 2 a.m. and say, pastor, my pipe's leaking, come and help me. And then they'd make me feel bad if I didn't go, so I would go. I mean, all sorts of stuff. I ran everything. Everything had to be just so. Why? Because there was wounds in my heart and the God has brought healing into those areas. So now I'm not held back by those things anymore. You find yourself in that robbing time from your family to please people at work or at church and other activities. then there may be a wound that is complicating your ability to live free and be who God has called you to be. Each time we choose to see ourselves through the lens of a wound, we refuse the opportunity to look at ourselves through God's eyes. No one else has authority to define who you are. He created you, not someone else. He says that you were made in his image in Genesis chapter 1:27, redeemed and restored because of Christ in Galatians 4:4-5, co-heirs along with Christ, Romans 8:17, dearly loved in Romans 5:8, and valued beyond measure in Matthew 10:29-31. You see, whatever your story is, the Lord of heaven and earth longs for you to see yourself in his light. Are you seeing yourself the way he sees yourself? You see, when we've been deeply wounded, we should not walk through those doorways of distortion and isolation, and it moves us past those wounds if we start embracing them and we move into isolation. We move into this part of despair, and we move into a place where shamefulness and other things start to come. It's not right. It's not what God would have. God can be trusted with your hurt. You can bring every piece of your tattered heart and place it at his feet, knowing he feels the sting of this brokenness, trusting his perfect justice and believing in his relentless desire to make you whole with his love. God is relentlessly, everything he has done is to restore us back into right relationship with him. He did it on the cross. It's paid for. We just have to embrace it and walk in it now. That's our part. He's done his part. Now it's our part to embrace it. And don't worry, when we can't do it on our own, Holy Spirit's there lifting our arm. Holy Spirit's there giving us a little nudge. Holy Spirit's giving us a kick when we need it too. He helps us. He convicts us. He draws us to righteousness. You are never alone. Second is not only wounds, but wounds end up leading into believing lies. It's a good reason that Jesus called the devil the father of lies in John chapter 8:44. Jesus says, when he lies, he speaks his native tongue because he is the liar and he is the father of all lies. This tells us really that primary strategy for spiritual battle is deception. The enemy is out to deceive, right? He's out to distort the pictures of our mind. And that a great book by a guy named John Bevere called Battlefield of the Mind. Sorry, no, that's Joyce Myers. Beta Satan, thank you. That second offense. Who's your defender? The person next to you? Right? Someone across the way? Who's your defender? Right? The Lord. So when we want to gripe and complain, who do we gripe and complain to? But when we do it to other people, we end up creating a stronghold in their life, because they're embracing a second offense that they can never be free of unless you go back and help them be free. So if you just got to understand that picture, if you go and share something with someone, it's you're tying and binding them up. So you're doing part of the enemy's work. This is why God is so serious about gossip and disunity and all that stuff. Why? Because you're taking a rope and you're tying them up into something. Whether you feel you're truthful and whether it's good or not, you're binding them up. And unless you go back and say, I was wrong, or that person that wronged me and that they've asked for forgiveness and I'm forgiving them, and then you lose them again. Unless that person has enough inside of them and of loving Jesus, and as you throw the ropes around them, they realize greater is he that is in me, and they just break him and walk away. Amen? See, listen, I'll give you an analogy of all this stuff. The cells that we go into, the prisons that we step into, there's no locks on them. They're all off. Why? Because Jesus has the keys of death and hell. He's conquered everything. All we got to do is open the door. Walk out. The only thing holding you back is you. The enemy can't do it. And you know God's not holding you back. He wants you free. So these lies. So let me share three ways you can recognize these lies from the enemy and distinguish it from the voice of Holy Spirit. One, when the voice, the thought, the idea whispered in your mind or your heart is contrary to Scripture, it's a lie. The problem is in our generation today, and I'm talking about anyone living, breathing, walking today, and that the majority are biblically illiterate. Most of the stuff that they've gained and listened to is off of movies. And how many know that a lot of the new movies out that are claimed to be Christian stories are the furthest thing from Scripture? Right? They're reminiscing on Sunday school stories and other things, but they're not in the Word and letting the Word get into them. If you've confessed the sin to God, but you keep feeling like it's not forgiven and that you need to pray again with someone with sincerity or whatever so that God knows that you mean it, that's the enemy toying with your mind. Believe in your heart, confess with your lips, and you are saved. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as we confess them to him. As far as the east and west, he remembers them no more. Amen? So if all of a sudden in your mind and that you're feeling like, oh, but maybe I got to say it again. Maybe I didn't shout it loud enough. Maybe I just need to rephrase it. Maybe I just got to this. No. That's just the enemy toying with your mind. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Not just the small, not just the big, all unrighteousness. Number two, when the voice, the thought, the idea whispered in your mind and your heart is not specific, but feels so general that you aren't even sure what you did wrong. That's the enemy lying to you. You see, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, he doesn't tease us or condemn us. He is laser focused, and he will call to our attention the specific area of our lives that we need to surrender to him. Generalization, and that is a ploy of the enemy to confuse and frustrate. God is a God of order. He knows what he's doing. When he's going to speak to you, he's going to laser in on something, and he's going to speak to you on that. And when he does, can I just say to you, make it easy on yourself, right? Make it easy on yourself. Don't fight him. Amen? You always will lose. Number three, when it comes to a lie, when the voice, the thought, or the idea whispered in your mind and your heart is accusatory or angry or harsh or even condemning in nature, know that it is a lie from the enemy. So if you're wrestling with thoughts like you're failing in that to be a good mother, you'll never be anything more than all you are right now. That sin in your past is unforgivable. Or God doesn't really know what he is doing, and it's just as confused about your life as you are. You see, these are lies from the pit of hell that the enemy plants in our wounded heart, and we have to immediately recognize them and call them out for what they are. Listen to me. If I can say this as nicely as I can, sin is nothing that we can play with. It seems pleasurable for a season. He sugarcoats it, but everything inside is a ticking time bomb. We become comfortable in sin. We become comfortable in wrong thinking and wrong things, so much so that now it's just the natural flow of the walk of a Christian. And then we'll wonder why we're so confused. We'll wonder why we're not walking free. We'll wonder why we're not making that impact that when we walk in a room, things change. Because there's just too much Phil. There's too much of you and not enough him. Amen? And this is how we unpack our bags, is we start to allow him to come in and heal up the wounds. We begin to dispel the lies and get him out of our life, and we begin to live free. Those lies we agree with that came from wounds we suffered will result in a vow. And this is the third stage of strongholds and how they get established. So let me go through the vow. When I say vows, these may not be necessarily statements that we make, Rather, they are filtered statements we begin living in our lives. Vows are the way, a way for us to protect ourselves from ever getting hurt again. But because it's rooted in a lie by the father of lies, the flip side of that which, that protective coin, so to speak, is that we end up not trusting God or trusting the people that God has brought around our lives. See, in your prayers, and that, God, what vows did I make to protect myself? That's a prayer we need to ask. God, what vows have I made to protect myself? What vows have I made to build up walls so I'll never get hurt again? Have I chosen to live on a defensive as a result of lies and wounds? You've all been around at least someone that's been defensive, or maybe you've been defensive at times, and you can look back and realize those things. It's all a part of these vows that we live by, or vows that we declare. Some of them we speak out. Some of them we just start embracing as a mode and a protection. This process, unfortunately, is how we, many of our friends and family, end up in strongholds in their lives. They are overwhelmed and buried underneath the things. Galatians chapter 4, and this is how those strongholds get developed. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?" You see, God's called us out of darkness and into light. And light and darkness have no place together. That concept and that lie, somewhere's in the 80s, and it's nothing new. It's always been around and throughout history and that. But in the 80s, early 90s, started pressing back into the church that a Christian can be demon-possessed and possessed by God all at the same time. And it started creeping into the church, and that it crept in teachings and different things and moved around. Listen to me, and that, don't look at me weird, because it was here when I came. And in that part is that that's a lie from the pit of the enemy. The Bible tells us very strongly, very clearly, that light and darkness have no place together. Now, am I naive to think that everyone that says they're a Christian is actually a Christian? No. It's like me saying, hey, I'm a truck. Does that make me a truck because I said I was a truck? No. Right? Hanging out at McDonald's, does it make me a Big Mac? Or hanging out in an airplane hangar, does it make me a plane? No. And that is, we believe in our heart, we confess with our lips, and we allow the power of the great I Am to transform us. We become born again and we become spirit-filled people, and that allow Holy Spirit to now guide, lead, and move our life, that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him. Strongholds. Remember what a stronghold is. It's a fortress in the spiritual dimension of our life from which the enemy operates, undermines God's good purposes for our life, which result in unhealthy habits and thought patterns, which can be very difficult to break free from. Another defining mark of that stronghold is a recurring pattern. Do you find yourself back into the same place again with friendships, with church? Sometimes we say that part of church hopping, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I believe with everything, if Rockcliffe was the only boat afloat, I would force everyone to stay. It's not. It's not. There's some amazing churches in our community. I know the pastors, I know the churches, and they're accomplishing great things for the kingdom of God. Amen? But if God's called you here, when you go through tough times, which you will, because iron sharpening iron will bring that out, it's so we can learn how to submit to one another, it's learn how to honor one another, it's learn how to deal with the things that we are so blinded that we don't even see in our life. So he brings that irritating person to poke at him so that we can turn around and say, oh my goodness, instead of saying, I can't believe them. No, why is it that I get like that? God, what is it you want to do? What is holding me? What has caused me to think this way or move this way? What do I need to change? What needs to happen in my life? Wounds, vows, lies, strongholds, they become often have to do with us wanting to prove our worth, our value, or in many cases, not feeling like we're worthy of love, affirmation, or success. We need to replace the lies with truth. I gave out this earlier. I think there's some more out in the back. If not, we'll print some more and we'll make sure. These are just 23 declarations. I found this online and just printed it. It was easier than me typing it. And that if you're feeling stressed, anxious, or defeated, it says, and want to experience his peace, regularly practice declaring these statements aloud. I'll just read a couple of them. Number one, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. I don't know about you, but I say that one a lot in my life. Why? Because I feel overwhelmed sometimes when I'm faced with, oh my goodness, how do I handle this? Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And then I turn and I pause and say, wait a second here. Two that I quote a lot is, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And then this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? No matter what I face. I mean, even if I've never done it before, I can do it because he's with me. And if he's asked me to do it, he'll give me everything that I need. Christ is in my life, is another statement, Colossians 3:4. I am free. Oh, you might not feel like you're free. It might not look like you're free, but you need to declare that because that's what he paid for. And remember, we operate from the Spirit and truth. And so we're speaking to our flesh to get in alignment and submit to that. Amen? The issues of your value are not determined by whether people like you or don't like you, nor is it determined by your performance. The issue of your value and your worth has already been settled at the cross of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Thank you, God. You are free. You are free. At the cross of Calvary, God saw every failure, every shortcoming, every sin that you would ever commit. And he still chose to lay his life down for you. Colossians 2:14 says, he forgives us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, your records of wrong, which stood against you and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. You didn't need to perform to win his approval. You already have it through Christ. Are you clothed with that armor that he's given you? Let me close with just a couple things here. How are you clothed with that armor? Every day we need to put that armor on, and the Bible tells us. Why? Because we're in a fight. And if you don't put that armor on, then right off the bat, you're not even expecting it. You're not even expecting any hit. You're just kind of walking through life, and that's when it hits and hurts the most. Put on your armor. Dress for battle. Do everything to stand, and when you've done everything to stand, stand firm. The Lord will fight your battle for you, amen? But you got to put that armor on to handle the attacks of the enemy. Seven ways to break spiritual blockage in your life. And here they are really quick. Number one, know your opponent. Know your opponent. Do you know who you're against? It's not your boss, coworker. It's not the person sitting next to you or spreading gospel about you. And that it's an ancient enemy. And that has been around since the very beginning of time in the Garden of Eden, the devil. The Bible reminds us that our battle is not people-based, but it is spiritual. Identify your opponent, his strategies and tactics, and be empowered through the Holy Spirit to thwart every single one of them. Know your opponent. Number two, accept that the fact that the battle is won. Jesus said all power and authority is his. So if you're in Christ, guess what? You're already on the winning side. Many believers are not walking in the power and the authority of Christ that Christ died and paid for. And that let the revelation of his victory permeate your faith and cause you to operate with a winning stance. Number three, catch up to your faith. Catch up to your faith. Allow your faith to be demonstrated in your actions. Don't just say you believe you are righteous of you are the righteousness of God through Christ, and then crisis hits and become frazzled. Let your life be faith-based and live like you believe the words that you read in Scripture. It's not about memorization. It's about the revelation and transformation of His Word. I don't care how much we can memorize. Is it sinking in? Is it working? Are you declaring? Are you living it? Are you walking it? If you're not, what good is it? It's living. It's active. So catch up to your faith. Number four, speak and think. Your words and thoughts are containers of power. They carry in the power of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. It's your choice. This is one of the most powerful weapons against pulling down strongholds, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And also, as a person thinks, so they are. Change your thoughts, change your words, and God's power will change your life. Change your thoughts, change your words, and the power of God will change your life. Number five, claim what's yours. Read the book of Ephesians. Read it again. This book shares the inheritance that God has prepared for you and a rich blessing He intends for your life. Not for someone else, but for you. It's like a gift that has your name on it, but you haven't opened it yet. These gifts live in the spiritual realm where no man can touch. Spiritual warfare and strongholds are designed to keep you from accessing your heavenly rights and keeping you spiritually bound. Number six, pray, declare, decree, and declare. Pray and seek God's face. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your prayers. Don't just pray aimlessly like the person standing on the corner of the street beating his chest and shouting out loud, the Bible says. Go into your prayer closet. And then go before God, in other words. Come before Him. Put that covering that this has nothing to do with anyone else. This is me getting in contact with my Heavenly Father. And I need His help. I need to hear from Him. I'm desperate. And lastly, stand and be strong. Paul tells Christians to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Don't go this alone. Don't do it alone. Stand strong in the Lord and He will fight the battle for you. Walk in the Spirit and not on your own natural ability. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Listen, if you forget who you are, that fierce and fearless nature, that kingdom nature, Matthew 16, 18 to 19, telling us about that the gates of hell will not prevail against, then all who look to you for protection and guidance will be at risk. If you are the light of the world because Christ is inside of you, but you're not walking it, we're not walking it, we're not living it, we're not walking in that power and authority, then all those that look to us for guidance and protection are at risk. The body of Christ is made up of noble, powerful guardians who have been awakened to the realization that God has opened up a wide expanse before us. Remember, God is not the one that is fencing you in. Until we are hungry for His kingdom and we desire to see His power and His authority and His reign to rule, then we are going to live this defeated life and overwhelmed, ineffective for His kingdom. But God has called us, always chasing and ever elusing this joy and peace. He's called us to embrace that joy and embrace that peace in Christ. We need to open our eyes to help us remember that He paid for it all and that He's called us to shine bright for Him. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, the Spirit in you is far stronger than anything that you will ever face. 1 John 4:4 says, It is not even a close match. The Spirit within you far exceeds the might of any opposition that you may encounter in this world. It is the Most High God who is calling you out of that lie, out of that wound, and out of that vow. He sent his Son to die on the cross so that you might cross over from death to life, from darkness to light. He paid for it all. And then he is challenging you and I that he really wants us to be free. It's not church as usual anymore. It's not church as usual anymore. I know I don't always fit the role here sometimes and that because I feel like God keeps pushing and he's wanting us to get out of our comfort and he's wanting to move us, yet we resist and we don't want to. But that's what he's called me to do as a pastor. And I honestly, I can't go another year and watch people be bound. And so just know, all heaven's resources and your leadership team are praying for you to be whole. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. And so you might get woken up at night now because we're praying. Things might start shifting and feeling awkward for you now because we're praying. Because God's saying he does not want you staying in that wound. He doesn't want you staying in that lie. And he wants to break that vow and turn it around so that you can be free. The enemy is defeated, and the gates of hell have nothing on your life because the great I am is dwelling inside of you. And so, if you feel uncomfortable in church a little bit, just know Holy Spirit and your leadership team are fighting on his behalf, and that so that you can be free. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. And so when we understand this and we start recognizing of what God is really wanting to do inside of us, from glory to glory, every day he's doing something inside of me. It's not a one-time fix and done. It's like a regular oil change you got to get done, and that he knows what you can handle and he'll only bring up. And remember, if it's generalized, it's from the enemy. When the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, it's going to be laser focused. Have you ever had someone come to you and all of a sudden they're like, you are whatever, yeah, right? And they go on and on and on about 15 minutes and then you're like confused. And you're like, what did I end up doing? What did I say? Where was I? Pause in that moment and back up and don't own it and say, okay, God, either pin it on me and let me know exactly what I did. If not, God, I'm going to reverse this down. I'm going to pray for my brother or sister to be free because they're bound and they're confused. And that's not from you. You're not an author of confusion. It's time that we begin to speak blessing and favor over each other's lives and not the other, which normally happens. Be free, because that's what Jesus paid for. It's time to bury the hatchet. It's time to lay down the wound. Will you get wounded again? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, why? Because we live in a broken world with other people around. And we don't always get what we want, or it doesn't always go the way we'd like, or someone doesn't always recognize us. Someone doesn't always shake our hand. How many times have I heard that? Someone leaving the church because no one shook my hand today. Listen to me, these wounds, these lies, and these vows are much more dictating in people's lives than they ever should have been, because he paid for you to be free. So Jesus, we come right now, Lord. You said in Psalms that you put your searchlight on and that it goes around and expelling all the lies of the enemy. So, Lord, would you just flick it on right now? I know you're already speaking, Lord, as I've been unloading what you put in my heart. But, God, would you just begin to narrow in and focus on that lie or that wound or that vow that was made? And would you just begin to dismantle it? Show it for what it is. Lord, that it become almost like a distaste in the mouth, and that's a man, I can't speak that again. That doesn't feel right. I'm not embracing that again. Lord, that you'd help be able to start to physically right now, Lord, maybe someone is starting to take bricks off a wall. Holy Spirit, just begin to show them what these vows, what are these things that they made these bricks up. And as they realize now and exposing and that the lie for what it was, and that as they made that vow, not only they thought they were protecting themselves, but they were actually repelling all of the love and all the things that you want to do in their life. So Jesus, I just thank you for freedom that you're moving in this place. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus, I just thank you right now. And Jesus, I pray, Lord, as we close our service today, God, Lord, as we recognize, Lord, just what you're doing in our lives and where we're at, and that this is not the end. This is not your lot in life. But every day you can walk free. Every day you can walk as a brand new miracle, as a brand new adventure. Lord, renew our minds, Lord. Renew our minds so that we can shout it out, that we can sing just a little bit louder. We can sing a little bit louder in the presence of our enemies because we know that you are greater and that we know that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We know that we can do all things in Christ, that we are free. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have a right to come into your throne room because you've declared us righteous. Oh, Lord, I thank you, God, for the new day that Rockcliffe is walking into. God, I thank you, Lord, for what is about to happen in Owen Sound because you are setting your bride free from all of the entanglement of the spider's web the enemy has sown and webbed over our life over the years. And God, I thank you, Lord. It's like that little seed that now all of a sudden is starting to sprout. God, for some, maybe it's the first time in a long time. For others, maybe it's already been up, but it's just been beaten a little bit, and that fruit now is going to start to grow more off of it. God, I thank you. You didn't call us just to bear fruit or even just some fruit, but you call us to bear much fruit. So that, Lord, that abundance will be able to be spread out to those around us. Help us to shine bright. And we give you praise, we give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I encourage you and that to write down whatever it is, that lie, whatever it is, that vow, whatever it is, that wound, write it down, put it on a piece of paper, and then once you write it down, rip it up as a symbol and a sign of saying, God, I'm free from this. I'm not believing it anymore. And then every time it comes back, you remind, hey, it's not mine. You got to go talk to God about that one. He's got it. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We love you lots. We'll see you tonight at 6:30 at our Ascend the Hill worship night. If you'd like prayer, you'd like to talk and that, I just encourage you to come. I'll be here at the front for a little while. God bless you. We love you lots. In Jesus' name, amen.